Live from Gulfstream Park in South Florida, this is a special edition of Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America live from Gulfstream Park. Appreciate you joining us. Big day coming up, and we'll have some preview of it this morning. Coming up a little bit later on live, we'll be joined by former jockey, now works for First Racing down here at Gulfstream, Aaron Greider. We'll also be joined live by Daily Racing Forum's Mike Welch. But lots of tape pieces coming up, and let's kick right off because we have a big show. First up, it's trainer Brian Lynch. We caught up with him a couple of days ago, and of course, Classic Causeway in the Florida Derby. He has some horses on the undercard as well. So let's fire it up right now. Trainer Brian Lynch.
Causeway in the big race. Wins the Sam Davis, wins the Tampa Bay Derby. What was your takeaway from those two races?
Classic Causeway, Little Vic. Make it big out three deep, trying to come after them up front. 46-3 the time for the opening half mile. Classic Causeway, Little Vic. These two continue on. They open up 2.5 lengths. Volcanic trying to launch. Golden Glider in between horses, or in behind horses, rather. Shipsational's also trying to put in a bid. Classic Causeway comes to the top of the stretch. Little Vic has been hounding him throughout as they spin to the top of the lane for the Sam F. Davis. It's Classic Causeway off the turn in front now by two. Little Vic back in the second spot, lugging in Mr. Rum Runner. It's two more than to Volcanic. Shipsational trying to run on down the crown of the track. 16th pole, Classic Causeway. Here's Shipsational, who bursts out from the pack, but it's Classic Causeway. I read Ortiz, easy as can be in the Sam Davis. Won it by four. 48 seconds flat for that opening half mile. Classic Causeway to the far turn. A host of challengers just in behind. Grantham down toward the inside. Here's Shipsational. Shipsational starting to launch up on the outside. Draws within 3/4 of a length. Trademark in amongst horses with Giant Game. Belgrade is trying to wind up on the outside. Happy Boy Rocket pushed along. Classic Causeway continues to cruise to the quarter pole. A length and a half in front. Shipsational on the outside. Trademark looking for room just in behind with Grantham as Classic Causeway comes to the top of the lane in front. It's Classic Causeway off the turn. Grantham still battling away. Trademark in between horses. Irad Ortiz says go with Classic Causeway. They lead it past the furlong pole. Grantham is second. Shipsational, Trademark. Golden Glider late on the seat. It's Classic Causeway still in front. Classic Causeway inside the final 16th. The sun shines bright on Classic Causeway, who wins the Tampa Bay Derby by two.
Winning form's good form. And now I think they were both good educational races for him, and it showed us, in the Sam F. Davis, he got pressed hard early, and he withstood a decent press and was able to draw off and run one of the better times for the three-year-old races that year, finished the last 16th and, sub 6 second. And the Tampa Bay Derby was a funny day that day. They had the tornado touchdown through that area, and it was a heavy, heavy backwind, and it was a drying out sort of track, so his number wasn't that strong in it, but I think his performance was. So I think them two races really set him up to run a big one here on Saturday.
And if I read right after the race, you were kind of considering maybe we'll go straight to the Kentucky Derby, but you're plugging this in. What was the decision-making process to run here?
No, originally after the race, I thought we'd go to the Bluegrass,
okay,
which was a bit over 3 weeks out from the Derby. Whereas this race gives me 5 weeks from the Derby. If it's a hard race on him, he's got plenty of time to make the ship to Louisville and recover from it.
And so what was the decision to come here as opposed to the Bluegrass?
The weather. But we train him at Palm Meadows, which is an hour up the road, and it's a simple ship down here. But I called for good weather this weekend. I don't know that we're going to get it.
With his early lick, the two post seems like a good post position. Have to be happy with that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's going to have a target on his back, no doubt. So we'll he's going to leave there running, and we'll leave him wherever he's comfortable and see how it plays out.
What are your expectations?
The horse's he's done nothing wrong so far as a three-year-old, and I'll roll the dice to say he's going to run a big one here on Saturday.
Let's just hit in a couple other of the stakes runners you have on Saturday. Phantom Currency in the Appleton. A couple of straight wins on this track when last seen, but that was last year. So coming off the layoff, what are you thinking for Phantom Currency?
Yeah, he had a soft tissue injury after his last run here, so we've given him plenty of time, and hopefully we're looking for a good year with him. He's sort of a marathon horse and a mile first up, Might be a bit short for him, but he has been training really good and he is fresh. So, I'm looking for him to run well too.
In the Cutler Bay, you have Red Danger. We saw him break his maiden up in our neck of the woods up in Saratoga.
As Red Danger ranges up on the outside from third, Labarge down at the rail in fourth. Castle Leosh is now back in fifth, followed by Java Buzz and Snow Candy. The field comes into the stretch. It is Admiral Halsey challenged on the outside by Red Danger. Red Danger to the front now. Java Buzz is putting in a move here on the extreme outside. So it's Red Danger and Java Buzz. They are 1-2 as they come down for the finish. Red Danger the leader, and Red Danger will get his maiden victory here.
Comes out of fourth in the Palm Beach. What are you thinking for Red Danger?
His last two starts, he sort of had trouble trips. He never really got a chance to get into it. He's packed wide in both turns last start, and he just needs a clean trip. I think he's good enough to beat these horses.
And just give us a little update, because you had a nice maiden special weight winner here a couple weeks ago with I'm So Sorry.
On the far turn they go. Things start to pick up on the front end. It's Blythe Spirit by a neck. I'm So Sorry second. Kivalina third. Mitigation getting ready to launch her bid. She's now fourth. Queen Matcha angles for Racing Room. Charlie Root is underway with Peach Cobbler. Spurt comes alive from the back. She needs to find some place to go. Plenty of chances here as they straighten for home. Over the top, Kivalina now up to tackle for the advantage from between horses. I'm So Sorry. Queen Matcha and Mitigation are loose and down the center. Charlie Rude, 16th to go. Mitigation lifting at the embattled duo. Kivalina and I'm So Sorry. I'm So Sorry, Kivalina. Photo finish.
Another horse that we saw up at Saratoga. Nice little three-year-old Uncle Mo filly. What's in the future for I'm So Sorry off the nice-looking maiden breaker?
Yeah, no, she's acts like there's some quality to her. We'll take her to Keeneland and run her in A other then and hope she develops into a nice three-year-old filly for the stakes series through Kentucky and New York for this spring-summer.
Thanks for the time. Good luck on Saturday.
Much appreciated.
Thanks to Brian Lynch for taking the time, and good luck to him today with Classic Causeway, some of his other runners as well. Also caught up with some folks who have opinions on the races, Ron and Acacia, Pete Aiello, a little bit later on, but why don't we kick off right now? We were sitting right here on the set yesterday with Ron and Acacia, and so first up, Acacia Clement. Her thoughts on not only the Derby, but a couple other stakes races on the undercard as well.
Take a look at some of the stakes coming up on Saturday. First of all, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good to see you in person here.
Exactly. Oftentimes it's via Zoom or by the phone, but always happy to be in person, particularly when we're in the paddock at Gulfstream.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day once again. A little toasty today, too, but I'm sure it's better than upstate New York right now, at least.
Yeah, there was no match, take my word for it. All right, let's kind of work our way back from the Florida Derby. I'm going to take a little pop with Charge It. It's Todd Fletcher at Gulfstream in a Derby prep race. I'm hoping a little more value maybe than the 7-2 on the morning line. And it is Fletcher, and that clearly at Gulfstream going to take some action. But I think other horses have better resumes, obviously. And Simplification, Classic Causeway, White Abario make this a really interesting addition of the Florida Derby. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's so funny you say that, because I think we all actually had the same thought process. Ron and Brian and I were talking about it in the office, and we actually all landed on Charge It, too. So hopefully between all of us, it's not too much weight, and we don't bring down his price too much. But he was one I loved him first time ever. And there was a stablemate for Todd Fletcher that was taking more of the early money that day, and he kind of took a late pop. Obviously, has a really big pedigree of Romani Pope, Homebred, and the horse that beat him in his debut, Volcanic, for Mark Cassie, just had more foundation. He had raced as a two-year-old, and I thought that maiden score was the most impressive maiden win I've seen this winter at Gulfstream. So he's one that I think is really going in the right direction. I've been waiting to see him come back. Obviously, it's a big jump, but to me, the other main players have a few questions.
All right, let's go to a little bit earlier on the card. We're going to take a look at the Sand Springs. These are fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th on the grass. I thought this was a really competitive race, but I wound up on Stolen Holiday for Shug. I just thought that last race, the optional claim over Tampa, was good looking. But Stunning Princess, I think, is a real player for Danny Gargan. Crystal Cliffs for Graham Motion. I think it's a fun race. What did you see in the Sand Springs?
I think it's a fun race, too. I think there could be an honest pace, actually. So I landed on Crystal Cliffs as well, the French huge bred for Grand Motion. I know she's got the layoff to contend with. The horse I was really intrigued by, though, and I think will be a little bit of a bigger price than she is on the morning line, is Traffic Song, who ran really well two starts back. And, of course, you'd like her at a price that day, and then you don't get so much of a price the next time out. But she was very game last time as well. And, again, she's jumping into deeper waters this time around. But I thought the last couple of races for her on the turf here at Gulfstream have been really strong for Jimmy Toner.
Yeah, I'm always intrigued by Jimmy Toner horses. Not as many sending out these days, but I think you always have to pay a little bit of attention. And one more, we'll take a look at the Ghost Zapper Grade 3 event, $100,000 up for grabs for the four-year-olds and up going 9 furlongs. I'm master of the obvious in here. I couldn't get past Fearless, but I think Greatest Honor is absolutely going to benefit from that race over at Tampa. I think he's better than we saw there. It was off a layoff. I would expect him to move forward a little bit. What are your thoughts on the Ghost Zapper?
No, I agree with that. I spoke to Jose Ortiz, obviously his regular jockey, and Jose said that he thought going into that race he was really going to need it for fitness, and he also said he didn't think he really handled the Tampa track very well either, so we know he loves Gulfstream. For me, though, I've got my long shot in there. I'm taking a shot with the Falso Gutierrez horse, Capo Costello. I read Ortiz picking up the mount. He faced a really, really good horse last time in Olympiad, who would go on to win graded stakes after that allowance victory. The second time in the U.S., Fausto's horses have been running well throughout this winter. And I think that Fearless and Greatest Honor are definitely the big names of the race, but I think it's a nice race to potentially find a price.
Sounds good. Casey, appreciate the thoughts. Good luck on Saturday. We'll see you up north.
Thanks a lot, Seth.
Thanks again to Acacia Clement, and as I say, we kind of caught up with a few of the folks here at Gulfstream Park to get their ideas on Florida Derby and beyond, as it were, and one of those people, we went upstairs to the announcer's booth yesterday and talked to announcer Pete Aiello. So up next on this round, it's Pete Aiello, the announcer here at Gulfstream Park, his thoughts on the Florida Derby. Hello, the announcer here at Gulfstream Park. Big day coming up on Saturday. Big weekend, really. Bobbleheads for Johnny Velasquez on Friday. That was a lot of fun. Went to a great cause, the PDJF, Florida Derby Day. Carryover, mandatory pay on Sunday. I'm sure that will balloon up. But let's get some of your thoughts, Florida Derby.
In Todd, I trust. Seth, yeah. He's won more races than anybody else in the history of the Florida Derby. And he's really had a history of kind of doing what he's doing with Chargent, where he unveils them at the start of the winter meet, and then they just kind of get exponentially better over the next 90 days.
Yeah, I'm with you. I went with Todd. I went with Chargent. Similar, it's Gulfstream, it's Todd, and you get in this kind of late season Kentucky Derby prep area, and he seems to do very well. And I think there may be a touch of value with this horse.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, this horse broke his maiden on February 12th, yeah. And by Valentine's Day, Todd was already talking about the Florida Derby. That's very atypical for Todd. He usually plays it a little closer to the vest. So I get some always dreaming vibes with this horse. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he broke his maiden about the same time and then had an A other than win at Tampa before the Florida Derby. This horse is just coming off the maiden win. But I think there's a lot of talent there, and we really haven't seen all of it.
Yeah, and that's why I say there may be a touch of value there, because it is Todd at Gulfstream, so that's going to take a little of value away. But some of the others have better resumes, and I think it's a really nice addition that will play into, you know, I was looking up a couple days ago, 3 of the last 10 winners of the Kentucky Derby come out of the Florida Derby, and I think some solid contenders, you know, we have Simplification in there, a White Barrio and Classic Causeway, so I think they have certainly a little more proven resumes than Chargent, but I think it's just going to make for a great race.
Well, and I think for me personally, I think that's part of the intrigue of Chargent is that some of these other horses a race over the top. White Barrio got a perfect trip last time. Simplification has had a great 3-year-old campaign, but he's ran two monster races already. Yeah, so. Yeah. You know, I think we might be on the right horse at the right time.
And we were talking earlier, you might have a little bit of an idea in the Sir Shackleton.
Yeah, that's going to be my play of the day. I'm going to go with Fortin Hill. He should be so much better off of the second start off the layoff. We know how talented he is. He's down inside with the chief rival right next door to him. That's not optimum, but that horse that he is next door to is going to be in front and in front winging early. I don't think he wants the trip, so I think Fortin Hill will gather him in late. He's my single in the pick 5.
Sounds good. Pete, always great to talk to you. Thanks for having us here, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks.
Pete Aiello for taking the time and the thoughts on the Florida Derby. Happy to be joined now by Aaron Greider, former jockey, now working with First Racing here at Gulfstream and beyond. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Happy to have you on. And folks remember you from out on the racetrack and the jockey life. Talk a little bit about the transition from riding to the corporate offices and what you're doing with First Racing.
Well, it's been a great transition. I've been very fortunate to work under Aiden Butler, and he asked me to come aboard, and he said, look, you see it from the other side of the fences. You've lived it. Let us know what needs to be done as far as communication with the horsemen, the jockeys, the safety for the horses, anything that I might see that could be improved, whether it's track surfaces. I deal a lot with the track maintenance crews. So, yes, it's a whole package, whatever I can see and help develop, and we're always looking to create new things here. So I'm having a great time, and I don't just work at Gulfstream Park. I'm flying out tomorrow morning. I'll be going to Santa Anita for the Santa Anita Derby. I'll be out there for 10 days and then on to Maryland. So I do a lot of traveling, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's a great idea to have somebody who's more intimately involved with the horsemen and the jockeys up in the corporate offices and giving thoughts from that side of the game, certainly important. And the first racing product, normally we're up in, you know, the Albany Saratoga area, and I'm doing a handicapping show in the afternoons watching racing from around the country. And the first product during the winter, it seems like every 3 or 4 weeks there's a big stakes day at Laurel, and of course Santa Anita right. Derby coming up out at Santa Anita, and today a huge day down here at Gulfstream. But the other day when I caught up with you and said you want to be on the show, I was talking with Brian Lynch, and you came over, and you were talking about getting on in the morning and doing a little ride. So you're still hopping on the horses in the morning.
I do. And sometimes I do it for just the joy of it. I love the horses, and that's why I was a jockey for so many years. I just really enjoyed the communication and becoming one with an animal. But it's fun for me now to go out and get on a few, but I also do it for safety reasons. Sometimes a track man will call me and say, look, I'm getting some complaints on this or that. Can you tell me what you think about it? So I do that at all the racetracks that we have. And yesterday I actually went to Palm Meadows and just for a joyride, I was going to get on a couple, but I actually breezed two horses for Brian Lynch and I galloped two other horses.
Yeah, very good. We should mention, and I'll get your opinion because I'm sure you visited all the training facilities down here. This is a unique situation with Gulfstream because you have Palm Beach Downs, Pletcher's down there. We took a visit on Thursday to Palm Meadows. And normally when we come down, we'll stop up there. I had my first visit on Tuesday morning to Payson, which, well, you talk rural, but that is right. A beautiful facility.
It's a beautiful facility.
And really those three training facilities add to a unique experience down here at Gulfstream.
Absolutely. We have so many, you know, we have such good weather when we come down here. A lot of people escape the New York cold areas at that time, and they might leave a string up there, but they want their young horses to be able to develop in the nice weather and be able to run down here at Gulfstream Park. But they have so many great training centers, and Palm Meadows being one of them.
Yeah, it really is a unique situation down here. Last night I was doing a little research, as I do normally with guests, and Googling around and whatnot, and saw that you started the career in Mexico, actually. And I'm curious, when you do that, does the whole apprentice thing still work when you transition back up here to the United States?
It does. I was told by the man that taught me how to ride, a retired jockey named Rudy Campos. He said, look, if you want to make it in the big racetracks, he said, you need to make a good impression when you get there. So he said, I'm going to send you to Tijuana, Mexico. We'll get you some opportunities. And when I think you're ready, you'll come up to Santa Anita. So it worked out great. I won 33 races there, and I remember saying I wanted to stay one more week because I was one off of being leading rider. And my agent that I was getting at Santa Anita said, kid, if that's what your dreams are, he said, why don't you just stay down there? So I left, and it was a good move by leaving. But, yeah, it was a transition that I still carried on. By the time I was at Santa Anita, I was just a 5-pound apprentice.
Very good. But you kind of lived that same dream, according to what I read. Didn't you win Hollywood title as an apprentice?
I did. I was very fortunate. When I went into the room at Santa Anita, it was all of my idols. It was Bill Shoemaker, Chris McCarron, Eddie Delahoussaye, Lafitte Pincai, Gary Stevens, Alex Solis, Fernando Toro. I mean, it just went on and on and on. Did I mention Shoemaker? I probably did. But if I didn't, I apologize. But, yeah, I was just so fortunate. And then to be able to go there and get the support of, you know, as an apprentice, I won two grade ones that meet, one for John Gosden, one for Charlie Whittingham. And I was getting opportunities that, you know, I really appreciated, and I was taking advantage of them and learning from all those great riders.
Yeah, that's incredible, because the room back in the day out there was incredible. Did you have a mentor?
I think I had a few of them. You know, I was always really good about reaching out to the older riders and saying, look, if you see me doing anything wrong or anything I can improve on, please help me. And because I approached them right when I got there asking that, they used to come to me all the time. I mean, Chris McCarron was very instrumental. He would do things in a race, you know, down the backside. He'd say, watch this. And I'd watch him. And then after the race, he'd say, you know why I did that? You know what I was doing? And he would explain. So it wasn't just saying it. He was showing me a visual, and then he'd come back and explain it. So I had some really good mentors.
I'm also curious, always curious when we have jockeys, you know, during the Saratoga season, we're live from the backstretch, and I can sit next to them and pick their brains a little bit. I'm always curious, as a jockey, what was your prep? you know, the night before, would you watch tapes? Would you go over the PPs and obviously look at the PPs of the competition? Did you have to kind of familiarize yourself with the rest of the jockeys in the room and what their strategies might be? How did you prep for races?
Well, I was always big on reading the racing form the night before, and I always watched videos. So whether they were my horse or horses that I felt that were the contenders that I needed to beat. But when I handicapped races, it wasn't always, you know, it's so much different than the players. They're handicapping to pick a winner. I would handicap how I'm going to beat the other 11 horses inside or, you know, around me. And a lot of times my handicapping revolved around the rider's strategies, because I understand there's certain riders, if you study the riders, there's certain tendencies. Some guys move a little bit early. Some guys are too patient. Some guys swing to the outside early, and you know you're going to get their spot, so you can stay there. Other guys never leave the fence, so you know you're going to have to find another way. So my handicapping was you know, very much in tune with what other riders were doing, what other riders were in the race, and you know, the tactics that they may be using as well.
That's interesting. And I'm also curious, tied in with that, you know, you said you watched replays and whatnot. Do you think it's easier for jockeys today with the technology? Because certainly from handicappers, we can pull up replays very easily now as compared to when I first got into the game, which was almost impossible to pull up replays. So have things become maybe a little bit easier for jocks now?
Well, it's definitely easier to get the replays. Yeah. And you'll go any jockey's room that has the monitors. We do at Gulfstream. We do it all over Racetracks, Maryland, California. You'll always see jockeys going up there and studying, you know, horses that they're going to be riding. And, you know, a lot of times you don't get a chance. You know, people think you know every horse that you get on. And I tell people, I rode over 30,000 races. I probably sat on 40% of the horses I rode I never sat on before. So, you know, it definitely helps. You can see some things that a horse likes, or when he thrives, if he got to the outside, or if he, you know, if they reserved his speed a little bit early on and finished up. You just want to try and pick up whatever you can, because inches make a big difference in this game.
We all know that. All right, before we let you go, I just curious to get some thoughts maybe on the Florida Derby. Really nice addition this afternoon. I've been talking all morning. I thought I was getting clever with Charge It, but it seems like everybody's getting clever with Charge It. But you have Classic Causeway coming out of the Tampa Bay Derby win, Simplification out of the Fountain Youth, Way to Barrio out of the Holy Bull. What are your thoughts on the Florida Derby?
Well, Charge It was ultra impressive with his maiden win last time out. Todd Pletcher, he knows, you know, he wouldn't be pointing this horse to this race if he didn't feel he was worthy of it. Classic Causeway is a very interesting horse. He's run five different racetracks, and, you know, he's been very successful. He's never run a bad race. His last two were at Tampa Bay. Some people think maybe that wasn't the kind of race that this is, and it's not. But these are horses that are growing. As they grow, they're getting stronger and stronger. What I like about Classic Causeway is that he didn't have to overexert himself that last time. So this is a good stepping stone for him to get better. You know, you got Simplification, who's run the last three races here at Gulfstream Park. Must have an edge over Classic Causeway just because it's a track surface. But again, Classic Causeway is run on five racetracks, so I don't think that worries is that big of a deal. But it's just such a great race. I think, you know, right, Abrio, is that how you pronounce it? Is a horse that's, you know, three out of four, won all three races here at Gulfstream Park, the seven horse, 3-1 right now. But I just think, you know, this is a very competitive race, and it's not just those four horses. Again, at this time of year, you see other horses that took a little bit more time to mature and find their best stride, and now is the time. You come into the spring, we're hoping, you know, the last race before it, you want a really good, solid race. If you get into the Kentucky Derby, you're in good shape.
Yeah, I think it's a great addition of the Florida Derby, and it has those horses with the resumes, and some who are looking to add to their resume, and it adds to the whole intrigue along the Derby Trail. Aaron, appreciate the visit, and good luck to you and everybody here at First Racing this afternoon here with the Florida Derby card, which is shaping up to be a really great afternoon. Mandatory pay tomorrow in the Rainbow Six. I keep reminding people of that. It's been a big weekend. I picked up a bobblehead yesterday. I saw you tweeted out that whole table of the John Velasquez bobbleheads. And I interviewed him a couple of days ago, and so I stopped over. I said, well, now I have to get a bobblehead, right? And it's a great cause. PDJF, we up in New York, OTB does a couple of things for them every year, and that's a great cause.
And they'll be giving those away today as well for the $25 donation to the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund.
Yeah, certainly anybody here worth taking a look at. All right, Aaron, appreciate it, and we'll talk again.
Have a winning day. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, we will head now to another tape piece. Safi Joseph, of course, he's in here with White Abario, and so we'll get some thoughts on that, but also some undercard stakes horses as well. So up next, Safi Joseph.
Thanks for joining us here to talk a little bit about some of the big runners on Florida Derby Day. Obviously, let's start with Wade Barrio. Comes out of the win in the Holy Bull and comes off a 34-4 work. What are your feelings on Saturday for Wade Barrio?
He's done well. We had a little setback 12 days ago. He spiked the temp, but up until then, all the fitness work was done basically, and he just delayed the work 2 days, and he worked here well here on Tuesday. Came out of the work good, and his blood's come back good. So far, so good.
What was your takeaway from the Holy Bull? That was a nice looking performance.
As they round the far turn, they race to the first finish line here with White Abario now even with Galt at the 5/16. From the outside, Simplification is next. Giant Game not firing his fastball today. Mo Donegal's going to need to do a ton better than that. He's warming to the task, but he's 6 lengths off the lead, and that lead is held by White Abario. Off the turn on the stretch drive, White Abario working with the short stretch. He's 3 on top. Simplification is running a huge race. He's up on the outside trying to get into second, but the Holy Bull goes to White Abario with authority. He wins by 5 in the end.
Yeah, it was. And going into the Holy Bull, we actually had a little thing. We missed 2 works because he was sick. And fitness, I thought we were giving up some fitness. So to see him run like that was quite surprising. I mean, he's a good horse, but I would have been happy running second or third, getting beat 4 or 5 lengths. And you would think off of that, he's supposed to improve. So, I mean, we'd like him just to run back as good. If he improves, then he's really scary.
This time of year, you always have to ask distance concerns at all with that horse?
Yeah, a mile and a half shouldn't be no problem. I mean, the way he won and the way he trains, you would think a mile and a half is well within his reach. And then after that, if he gets through that step, then you ask yourself a mile and a quarter. But let's try to get through one step at a time.
So what are your expectations on Saturday?
I mean, we're hoping he runs a big race. I mean, he's trained well. He looks well. He's showing a lot of energy. And I mean, that's the thing with racing. Until they do it, you never know. But all signs pointing that he should run a big race. And if he runs his race, He's as good, if not the best horse in there.
Let's talk about some of your other runners. Gulfstream Park Oaks, you've got Running Legacy. Won the debut on the synthetic, followed up running third on the grass. Now you're trying the dirt on Saturday. Fill us in a little bit on Running Legacy.
Yeah, it's mainly just a kind of crap shot. I mean, she's by right gun runner out of AP in the mirror, so the stamina's there. Tapita was kind of, debut on Tapita was because her dirt works were average to then. Since then, she woke up and she trained much better on the dirt. And then she ran on the turf second time out, a little disappointed. And it's small field. She's well-bred. If she was to get greatest stakes place, it would be huge. And just mainly taking a chance and see if she can run on the dirt.
As a gun runner, give us your thoughts on that sire who's just been phenomenal so far.
Almost definitely. He's off to a great start. I mean, his first year, you can't describe the year he's having. So she's one of them, and that's why it's so vital if she could get greatest stakes place, especially for the Setzlers. It's a deep family that they have. It would be important.
You also have Beechnut Trophy, I believe, for the Ramseys, right? Beechnut Trophy in the Sanibel Island. Looked pretty good in the seasonal debut. 1.5 on the turf to start off the 3-year-old filly season.
As they run to the top of the stretch, 3/4 complete. Jumeirah first off the corner. American Heroine to the attack now. Into the clear. Love Her Lots has a late say at after 3/4 and 11-1. Still nothing decided yet. Jumeirah digging in. American Heroine not by yet. Beechnut Trophy closing good ground at the rail. Here comes Beechnut Trophy through at the fence, and she kicks on to win it.
What do you think on Saturday for Beechnut Trophy?
Yeah, she's a talented filly. She's won twice at this meet. She broke her maiden, I think it was late December, early January, and then she got sick after that. She came back the other day in an allowance, and she won again. Actually, looked like she was kind of beaten at the top of the lane. She kind of lugged in, and then she took off again. So she's a filly that has ability, and she deserves a very good shot. She deserves a shot in there, and she has a very good chance, in our opinion.
In the Sir Shackleton, you have a couple of horses, but Collaborate, last time 7th, but behind Speaker's Corner in the Gulfstream Park Mile. Before that, really nice optional claiming, we had a 6.5. Saturday, 7, what do you think for Collaborate?
Yeah, Collaborate's been a horse that's broken my heart a lot. I mean, I think a lot of him, and 3 times last time I thought one turn he would show up, and he didn't, coming off of that big win. But he kind of runs good, runs bad, so hopefully he's due to run good this time. My opinions on him, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I've been wrong. I mean, I think the world of him, and he hasn't shown it when he needed to so far. And hopefully he shows up and runs because I think he's a capable horse. And if he does show up, I think he's as good as any in there.
And you also have Gerolamo's attack in there. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, Gerolamo's the kind of horse that needs things set up right for him. He's a horse that doesn't want to be rushed, and he doesn't want to take dirt either. I mean, so it's kind of a tricky kind of ride. Hopefully we can get him in the clear. He's capable, in that kind of race, he's capable of firing a decent shot.
And finally, just I wanted to take away from the race last week in Dubai. You sent Drain the clock over. Always fun to see the American runners over there. What was your takeaway from last week?
Well, I'm disappointed because I thought trained so well into the race, and I thought he would run big. And the scenario that he got on the lead, I didn't envision him stopping. Why he stopped, I don't know. He scoped well. The track seemed tiring that day. And then you don't know if he just stopped because he was flat from the shipping. It's a hard question. We will never know, to be honest with you. But it was disappointing because of the trip he got, like, as far as scenario-wise, on the lead and stopping. He's never done that before, and that was disappointing. But it's a learning experience. It's racing, and you have to run your race, and we didn't run our race.
And finally, we were talking before we went on the air. We'll see you up at Saratoga again this summer, right?
Yeah, I was telling you that Saratoga beat me up last year, but you know what? You learn, and we'll be back this year. We'll be back stronger and better, and we'll do much better this year.
Looking forward to seeing you up there, and wish you a lot of good luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Safi Joseph with White Barrio in the Florida Derby this afternoon. Wish him a lot of good luck there, and I guess we'll see him up at Saratoga this summer. So I'm looking forward to that as well. We'll try to get him over on the backside again this year for a little conversation during the summer season. Speaking of conversation, speaking of White Barrio, we swung by the jockey's room yesterday, called out Tyler Gaffleone. He's on board White Barrio, and we got Jose Ortiz as well on board Simplification. So on the jockey side of things, a couple of the major players. Up next, Tyler Gaffleone and Jose Ortiz.
Board Simplification on Saturday. You were on board for the Fountain of Youth win. Just talk a little bit about that win. Nice win, 3.5 lengths, closed into moderate fractions, Fountain of Youth win.
Now Simplification giving a run. Simplification's even wider than Emmanuel. Looking for room is in due time as they run to the top of the stretch. Emmanuel now takes a narrow lead, fighting on. Undefeated Galt with him as Simplification sweeps up out wide. Simplification is now taking the lead in the Fountain of Youth. Dean delivers his so game. He's trying to hold on for second. Down the center in due time. Emmanuel between. Simplification for Antonio Sano. Win the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, it was good. The main thing was to break good, get good position. We did just that. Approaching the half of my pole, we were beautiful spot following Pletcher horse and a little wide, but I knew I was following the right horse, and when I made my move on the last 316, he responded really well.
So what are you feeling like on Saturday? Going with confidence?
Yeah, a lot of confidence. Horse doing amazing. It's two great works going into the race. And the main thing would be the same. Break good, get good position.
And is this part of the game plan just overall for a jockey to you and your agent? I mean, talk a little bit about that, what the game plan is. Everybody wants a Derby horse, and so you wind up with a horse like this. I'm assuming that's, you know, the team has kind of accomplished their plans when you do that. But talk a little bit about trying to get to the Kentucky Derby this time of year.
It's a long way to go. You know, a lot of stuff can happen between now and the first Saturday of May. I like the horse. I think he belongs on the good group of trio that we have right now. But like I said before, it's a long way to go.
Talk a little bit about, are you happy with your decision? Yeah, we're based up in New York, so we were watching the beginning of the season in New York, and then you transitioned down here. Are you happy with the move you made to Gulfstream this winter?
Yeah, very happy. I'm happy with the decision I make. Here it's perfect weather. You can beat the weather, and I think the horses are better here in the winter season, and going into the summer, you got a better chance to get better horses.
And talk a little bit about what might be next for you. Where are you headed? You know, this meet wraps up this weekend, so what's the game plan going to be for you?
It'll be a lot between New York and Keeneland. Yeah, going back and forth.
And I also wanted to congratulate you. You won the NYRA title last year, and I've got 185 wins at the various NYRA tracks. So, again, talk about the team and what kind of an effort goes into a year-long record total like that at the NYRA tracks.
Yeah, everything got to fall in place for you. You have to stay healthy all year round. And, you know, us not riding there the first 3 months of the season make it a lot harder to win. You know, we're not there January, February, and March. But my agent did a great job all year round. Like, been together for over 9 years, almost 10 years now, I think. And he knows me. He knows me well. I know what I like, what I don't like. And I think that gave us a lot of advantage, you know. He knows me well. And like I say, everything got to fall in place. But I'm happy that we get the title.
Congratulations and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
With Tyler Gaffleone, he's going to be on board White Barrio in the Florida Derby on Saturday. You were on board for the Holy Bull win. Talk a little bit about that and how he came out of that race and what your impressions were in the Holy Bull win.
As they round the far turn, they race to the first finish line here with White Abario now even with Galt at the 5/16. From the outside, Simplification is next. Giant Game not firing his fastball today. Mo Donegal's going to need to do a ton better than that. He's warming to the task, but he's 6 lengths off the lead, and that lead is held by White Abario. Off the turn on the stretch drive, White Abario working with the short stretch. He's 3 on top. Simplification is running a huge race. He's up on the outside trying to get into second, but the Holy Bull goes to White Abario with authority. He wins by 5 in the end.
I thought it was an impressive race. Lightly a racehorse. It was his first start of the year. I thought he ran a big race that day. It was a competitive field, and so far it looks like he's come out of it well. He's been working good into this race, so we're looking forward to it.
Kind of stock moderate fractions that day. What do you expect for Saturday?
It just depends on how the horses inside of us break. It looks like there's a couple speed down inside, so we'll play the break and try and come up with a game plan from there.
What's your confidence level?
I'm so excited. I can't wait to get on them. He's, like I said, he's been working up a storm, so we're pretty excited.
Very good. Wish you a lot of good luck there. And talk a little bit about just the overall plan, you and your agent, this time of year, you know, the first few months of the year. Is part of the game plan each and every year to wind up with the Derby horse?
Yeah, you know, that's the reason why we come down here, trying to find those young three-year-old prospects. But it's a good place for it, and we've been fortunate so far.
And give me your feelings on your winter meet. Second in the standings, you're going to wind up, so it seems like a pretty good meet. What was your takeaway from this Gulfstream Championship meet?
We've had a lot of fun. My agent does a great job. I've been given some great opportunities. It's been a lot of fun down here and been able to enjoy the weather, so we're looking forward to getting back to Kentucky now.
And tell me, what is that game plan? What is your schedule? And will we see you in Saratoga again this summer?
Yes, sir. So the game plan from here would be to go to Keeneland, Churchill, Saratoga, and then back to Keeneland.
Very good. Well, we wish you a lot of good luck on Saturday, and we'll look for you in Saratoga.
Thank you so much.
And thanks and good luck to both Tyler and Jose this afternoon on Florida Derby Day card and into the Florida Derby. And as I mentioned earlier, we caught up with the Holt handicapping team down here. We had Ashley on yesterday. You saw Acacia earlier. But we have to get Ron in the mix. So here are some thoughts. Florida Derby, a couple other stakes on the card from our friend Ron Nicoletti.
To be joined by our friend Ron Nicoletti. Always happy to be joined by him by phone up in New York, but always more fun to be live here on the Gulfstream Park paddock set. Ron, good morning.
Yeah, it feels like a real Florida Derby. Would you finally be able to get down here to South Florida again? Of course, of all that crazy stuff we have out of the last couple of years, but it's going to be a great weekend of racing, and just can't wait for Saturday with those 10 stakes, and always a great day here.
Should also mention, I've been mentioning it over the shows have been doing all weekend long, mandatory pay on Sunday. And I'll get your opinion. I talked with Ashley this morning, and she said, you know, you guys in the office are always looking, those numbers come up. That rainbow down here, you get a mandatory, the pool clears out, and it's like a week and a half later, it's up to $1 million.
Well, you make a great point, because years ago, when it was a 10-cent wage, even when it was the 20 cents, the first time it was hit, it would be $25,000 the first day, $50,000 the next day, and then all of a sudden, now it's $100,000 on the first day, $350,000 on the second. It just builds right back up again. You can have like 46 mandatory payouts in a year now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a lot of fun. 20 cent, you can get in for a reasonable ticket. And the mandatory pay, remember, comes up on Sunday. But Saturday, Florida Derby Day. Let's take a look at the Florida Derby. I've mentioned it a few times already. I'm going to take a little pop with Charge It. I'm hoping for a little more value than the 7-2, but as I've been talking to people, I'm not sure I'm going to get that. We'll see how it works out, though. But I think, you know, you have Classic Causeway, Simplification, White Abario. Where'd you go in the Derby?
I went with Charge It, too. So, you know, my ego. Mates here, both Acacia and Brian. I was talking to them. Now, I'm in print a couple of days before everybody else. You can, of course, get my analysis online. I go, hey, guys, I picked Charge It. I mean, you know, I'm going to try and get a little bit of a price. They go, no, I picked Charge It, too. I picked Charge It. So all of us tomorrow on air are going to have Charge It along with you on top. So I don't think this horse will be the favorite. With that said, you know, Simplification has just been that lucky horse, you know. They find out this horse could rake when he breaks bad. You know, he comes on. I'm not sold on him. I mean, I'm all for it. He's going to run well. Just not sold on Simplification. White Abario, I'm sure if it was told you, you know, he missed that work. It comes in Tuesday with that breeze. You know, okay, this horse could win. I would not be shocked. But, you know, I'm going to. So I tried to look for that price. We charge it. But you might be right. Might be second choice in here.
Yeah, I talked to Safi, and we talked about obviously about Wade Barrios, and we talked with that workout coming so close to the race is also that's a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, you know, and he said that the horse, you know, it's in print that he, you know, spiked a little temperature, you know, but he blew him out in 34 and something, so you would think he's ready to run. And you know, we talked about that. Well, what do you do with Classic Causeway? It's just been incredible up there at Tampa. I mean, it's a great stakes winner, and he seems to be going by the wayside. If you look at his figs, he doesn't seem to be that fair, you know, that, you know, on the level with some of these other horses. But there's four horses right there that I believe can win it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great addition of the Florida Derby, and I certainly think it'll play in the Kentucky into the Kentucky Derby. All right, let's go one race earlier, the Appleton. We're looking at four-year-olds and up, going a mile on the grass. I have, right at the top of my page, looks wide open. But I went 2, 9, 7, and 5. I put Scarlet Sky on top for Shug. Now moves into the four-year-old season. I just thought this horse was a little bit interesting in a very interesting and wide-open race. How did you see the Appleton?
So you read my analysis. I guess that's was it. That's my long shot of the afternoon, the number 2, Scarlet Sky. He's making his four-year-old a bit. Look at recaptured that form. You know, he's played last year. When coming off the face, he finished second in the Palm Beach. Then he won the Grade 3 Transylvania at Keeneland. So I see the race setting up from this. Some speed in here. You know, I looked up a stat that we'll be showing on the air is that the Shug is pretty solid. He's like 16% with this type of layoff coming back at Gulfstream Park on the turf. Uh-huh. So the numbers are there. 6-1 on the morning line. I don't know if we'll get that. You know, not in the top four picks as far as the line goes. So I was looking for that little bit of a price.
Yeah, these are the kind, it's hard to predict the price. I mean, off the layoff, you would think you're going to get some value. But as I say, it's wide open, and will other people be where you and I are? I'll take the 6-1, though, if we get it. A little bit earlier on the card, the Cutler Bay. This is my favorite subdivision. I love the three-year-olds on the turf, and these are three-year-olds going a mile and a 16th on the turf in the Cutler Bay. I'm going to go 5, 8, 2, and 4. I put Main Event on top for George Weaver. I thought a good try last time in the Palm Beach. Red Danger, though, for Brian Lynch. Fourth in that same Palm Beach, but I wouldn't be surprised if that one runs well. Luis Saez on board. Your thoughts on the Cutler Bay?
Well, we're in agreement once again. I did speak to Brian yesterday about Red Danger, and he thinks this horse is coming in. You know, he had trouble two starts back. Just by coincidence, I asked him this question. He's been saddled with the outside post. Now, it's been post 8 in 3 consecutive races. He's expecting his horse to run better, but with that said, I did go with the horse on top, and Main Event stretching out to the mile of 16 was good. Came within that neck of winning, you know, the Palm Beach last time out for George Weaver, Jose Ortiz. I think that's the way to go. Smoking Tea in second, beaten two lengths by that repeat stakes winner Grand Sonata. So those two races, to me, those two horses look like a logical one, but I'm not leaving Red Danger off my ticket.
Sounds good. Ron, as always, we appreciate the thoughts. And as you say, people can catch your analysis every day on the Gulfstream Park website. Your long shot plays, always a lot of fun to take a look at, and productive as well, typically. Wish you and everybody a lot of good luck. We'll talk by phone, I'm sure, in the meantime. But we'll look for you, as usual, on your vacation to come sit in with us up at Saratoga.
Wouldn't miss it.
Very good. Ron Nicoletti, Gulfstream Park.
Welcome back. As you can see, happy to be joined now by Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. Of course, he's a regular with us on the backstretch up at Saratoga, but home base is down here at Gulfstream Park, so have to bring Mike onto the set for some thoughts. Florida Derby Day. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Looking forward to a big day, and of course, a mandatory tomorrow. I'll ask you, that's everybody pretty much, that mandatory, the rainbow down here is so crazy. It seems like there's a mandatory, and then like a week and a half later, there's $1 million in the pool again.
Yeah, it builds up pretty quick. I mean, these guarantee jackpots are way more than what the actual carryover is. It's about 500 now. I'm going to guess it'll be 6 after today if nobody hits it today coming into tomorrow. It'll probably be $6 million tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, being its closing day and all. Just fingers crossed the weather holds out, because there is some forecast for rain tomorrow, and that would put a glitch into it. It would move the turf races, obviously, to PETA, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
But a big day today, and let's get some – oh, before we do that, give us your schedule a little bit, because I know typically, what, about 2 weeks down the road, do you make your move to Kentucky and do Derby workouts?
About 3 weeks, yeah. Two weeks before the Derby typically is when I go. And a lot of depend on how many of the Derby horses, you know, actually are stay behind here. I mean, guys like Safi Joseph and Antonio Sano with Wide Barrio and Simplification, if they're still on the trail, I'm going to guess they'll do most of their training here. A lot depends on how many Todd has. He could keep a whole bunch up at Palm Beach down. So if that happens, I may stay a little longer here. You know, you never know what the California horses are going to do if they stay out in Santa Anita. We've got coverage there for the Racing Forum. But You know, so just playing it by ear, but right now scheduled to go 2 weeks out.
And workouts always up at Saratoga are a big deal with the two-year-olds and whatnot, but workouts I think are also important coming into the Derby.
So absolutely. People... I mean, I base all my bets almost every year on the workout report, and Mandaloon was my play last year, so I still say I'm a winner, even though I didn't cash.
I like that. So people can check that, you know, 3 weeks down the road, around that time frame, start looking for those workout reports and whatnot leading into the Derby. And when you sat down today, you said Smile Happy worked.
Smile Happy worked very early this morning. It was pitch dark out, about 20 after 5. Just a kind of a maintenance half. I think he's shipping out tomorrow for Kentucky. For the bluegrass, I think he went 49 and change. The track was very slow this morning on the Cuppy side. This warm weather, you know, I think they need to get more water on it. Hopefully they'll fix it up by post time today. But he wasn't doing much. It was just a pre-shipping move. Sort of did the same last week, too. 2 weeks ago, he worked 58 and change. And they've kind of backed off on him since then. So interesting to see how the field shapes up. He could be the favorite in there, and I might take a shot to play against them if I really like something else in there, but they're going to have to see how that bluegrass shapes up.
All right, let's get some thoughts in the Florida Derby, and I'll be interested to see where you go, because I thought I was being clever, and so far everybody I've talked to has also gone on Charge It. So I wasn't being so clever, as it turns out. But you have horses with resumes in here. Classic Causeway out of Tampa and Simplification. And I'm interested to see if you saw the blazing workout the other day from Way to Barrio as well. But what are your thoughts on the Derby?
Well, I've seen all the works here. I mean, look, Charge It may be a really nice horse, but he's got a lot to overcome. And I give Todd all the credit in the world if he can get this horse off of two races, none around two turns, to win this race. And if this horse does win this race off of those two, just two races and no two-turn races, it's a really nice horse. And it may be. We'll see. But the inexperience, I know Todd is concerned, and it would concern me as a player in here. White of Barrio, yeah, the work the other day, it was fast. He did it easy. He missed his scheduled work. It was supposed to be on Sunday. He missed 2 days of training last week, so they backed it up 2 days. Little concern there for everybody, but after watching the work, no concern for me. Not only did he go 34-4, but he galloped out another quarter mile and looked good doing it. Look, he missed 2 weeks of training almost going into the Holy Bull. Even Safi didn't think, I don't think, was prepared to be in the winner's circle for that day, and he went off by four lengths. I know Simplification breaking slow had something to do with that, but this is a nice horse, and I think he did the right thing passing his next start, not going into the Fountain of Youth. You don't want to drain him too much. Obviously, the Kentucky Derby is still the goal for all these guys, so, White of Barrio, to me, is definitely one of the horses to beat. I mean, wouldn't shy. He's got a 97 buyer in the Holy Bull. Not fit. I mean, so if he can run back to that.
Yeah, we had an interview with Safi earlier, and he said I was going to be happy with third in there.
Yeah. I mean, so if he runs a 97 buyer and is a week and a half short on fitness, he's going to be tough to beat in here. There's no doubt about it. And Simplification, you know, you can make a big case for him. He broke slow that day. Blessing in disguise, I thought, for his connections. Now they found out a new dimension. He doesn't have to necessarily be on the lead. They took him back pretty hard in the Fountain of Youth, and then he circled six wide and won going away. There was some, you know, obviously he got lucky. He missed the incident just inside him on the turn, or he could have also been interfered with, and it could have cost him that race. But he went on with it, looked good, and he's looked spectacular training ever since then. Jose Ortiz fits him like a glove, not only in the afternoon, but in the morning as well. And that March 19th work, 101-4 doesn't look like much. As a matter of fact, that's the day Smile Happy worked 58-4, and of the two works, I loved Simplifications much more. It was just a gallop out. He just kept going and going, got stronger and stronger, went a mile and 38 and change. So off of that work, he is my pick. But, if White of Barrio beats him again, it certainly wouldn't shock me. And Classic Causeway, Classic Causeway handled White of Barrio, finished well in front of him when they met in the Kentucky Jockey Club. Done nothing wrong so far here. Inferior competition, but he blew them away in both instances at Tampa. An audible for Brian Lynch, instead of going to the bluegrass this week, he decided to stay here, keep him in town, avoid the extra shipping. And if he gets loose on the lead over this racetrack, and this racetrack, you know, typically on days like this will favor speed, he could be long gone too. I don't think you're going to see 7-2 on him. I think all three of these horses we're talking about are all going to be around 5-2, somewhere in that vicinity by the time they get to post. You know, to me, it's not a great betting race. If you like these three, there's not much separating them, and they're not going to be that big a price. I'd rather take a 5-2 shot in the maiden 12 that I like than one of these three. But it's going to be a great race to watch. And, you know, if there's something else, you'll look to get into the number. If Steel Sunshine had drawn a better post, I might have taken a shot to maybe get him in third or something in there. He's working really well. He's definitely a horse on the improve. Buyer-wise, he's going to have to move forward. I look for him to move forward, but, you know, we've talked about this a million times. Posts 9, 10, 11, going a mile and an eighth there. It's a bit of a disadvantage, so he's going to have to get lucky. Lando Reyes, I'm going to guess he's just going to grab him, take him back to last, and try to make one run. But that's a horse that I thought is doing really well.
Interesting, and I think it is a good addition that's going to play into the Kentucky Derby in a few weeks, certainly. On the three-year-old filly side, we have the Oaks, and I'm interested to see if you, like me, to me, off of that Devona Dale, Kathleen O is kind of a free square. It's between that one probably or Goddess of Fire, but what are your thoughts on the Oaks?
Well, not a free square, I don't think, because of her running style and because of the fact she's never been two turns, and Goddess of Fire has a fitness edge over it. She's been two turns a couple of times and will probably have first run over, although her best race has come from back two. This is a seven-horse field. The other four don't belong. Katish, I believe, is going to scratch.
Yeah, that's what Brian Meadows said.
Wind up a six-horse field. Not sure who's going to go to the lead. Maybe Blustery, who's coming out of a maiden 35 claiming win. Not supposed to beat these two, but might get loose on the lead. Cancel This has worked okay, and Running Legacy's worked okay. But these two seem like in a league of their own. One of the two will win. I did pick Kathleen O. She looks pretty special, but... you know, we'll just see how the race shape plays out here.
I said I was up at Payson the other day and saw her, and I'm no judge of horse flesh, but she looked pretty good up there. For my amateur eye, Pan American is the ninth race today, mile and a half on the grass. For me, I put Gufo on top, but a band I think is interesting. I thought Midday Image could be a candidate to steal it on the front end. What did you see in the Pan Am?
Well, he'll definitely be on the front end, coming out of mile and mile and the 16 races, going to a mile and a half. The key here is Gufo. Obviously, he's the class of the field. Taking blinkers off him today, coming back off a layoff. This horse has run well, fresh. We know that. But this is a prep for the Man of War. So, you know, whether Christoph has him, you know, totally cranked up for this one, I'm not sure. So maybe he becomes a little vulnerable at that point. I took a ban. I mean, I know he was a huge disappointment in the Mac Diarmida, but one of the worst trips ever for a horse that was 3-5 that's supposed to be Arna with the lead. He's back to eighth after six furlongs. I mean, he just had no chance. Tried to make a run into the stretch and then flattened out. I just see him totally stalking Midday Image, maybe overtaking him at some point and trying to hold off Gufo. That's how I saw this race playing out, but... Temple, too, you can't discount him. Comes off actually the race of his life in the Mac Diarmida from a buyer standpoint. A 100 buyer there. Has done nothing much in the morning since then. Mike Maker, knowing that horse ran pretty hard last time, just giving him a couple of easy half miles. So you can't throw him out. He never runs a bad one.
And finally, let's get some thoughts on the Ghost Zapper. I said when I handicapped this on the handicapping show earlier, I'd master the obvious, but the 2 seconds to Speaker's Corner, who I think is going to be a real solid player in that handicap division this year. But I think Greatest Honor is going to benefit from the start over at Tampa last time. Your thoughts on the Ghost Zapper?
He will, but, you know, his running style over this track is such a disadvantage. I know Fearless has been taken back off the pace in his last couple and then just proved no match for Speaker's Corner while easily best of everybody else. That race in the Fred Hooper was really, really good because he didn't break well that day. You see officiating, finished a distance third, come back and won a stake off of that. And then last week, Speaker's Corner, I thought ran even better than he did in the Fred Hooper. I think this race is all Fearless. I just think Greatest Honor is going to be too far back from him. He does get 6 pounds, but no, look, all his big races last year were against three-year-olds, and these are older horses. He's going to have to prove that he could stick with the older horses, too, and whether he's the same horse now that he was when he went through the Holy Bull and Fountain of Youth last year, I'm not sure, but Phyllis is a pretty nice horse. He loves this racetrack. I just don't see him getting beat. He'll probably wind up 3-5, but I think he's the free square here today.
Okay. Mike Welch giving some thoughts on the Florida Derby and the undercard as well. You can catch Mike's work, hard copy of the Daily Racing Form, drf.com, and coming up, which is about 3 weeks' time, we can start looking for the Derby workouts.
Absolutely.
Mike, appreciate the visit. We will talk again.
My pleasure.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap it up, not only for today, but for our week here at Gulfstream Park. Stay tuned.
Best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America as we wind it up on this Saturday morning. And again, wind it up for our visit here at Gulfstream Park. Really appreciate the hospitality down here. Don't let me forget to remind you, great day racing today. Have fun today, but there's the mandatory tomorrow. Keep that in mind here at Gulfstream. They're estimating $5 million perhaps in the pool. So put a little ticket together at the 20-cent increment. You can put together a nice reasonable ticket and maybe wind up with a very good day. That's tomorrow, the mandatory. But today, Florida Derby, great undercard. Don't forget also over at Oaklawn, the Arkansas Derby, nice card over there. Turfway, the Jeff Ruby Stakes Stake with Tis a Bomb, so that should be fun. Secret Oath over at Oaklawn is going to be fun to watch. But Florida Derby and the undercard is going to be a lot of fun here at Gulfstream Park, and hopefully we gave you some good thoughts on the Florida Derby and some of the undercard stakes as well over the last couple of days here in the morning. As always, when we wrap up, do want to thank our friends here at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this, some of the other programming, and also for their hospitality here. Want to thank Ben upstairs in the TV control room, the whole crew up there in the TV control room, our man Dennis behind the camera down here. It's always fun to come down and shoot the breeze with Dennis on the set. Also want to thank Dave Joseph over in the press office, everybody over there who's been really good to us as well, and all the folks here at Gulfstream for their hospitality on our annual visit. But it's normally our annual visit. Now it's been a couple of years. Fun to get back down and always fun to see all the familiar faces. And again, thanks to everybody down here for the hospitality. As far as on the OTB side, want to thank Dan and Dino up in the studio in Albany. Brian Dorenzo has been putting together the tape pieces down here as well. So thanks to the TV crew down here and everybody up at Capital OTB who worked to get us down here for a nice weekend of racing Florida Derby time at Gulfstream Park. I'm Seth Merrill. I'm going to wrap it up for this Saturday morning edition of Racing Across America. Again, have a great day. Cash some tickets, put a little money into your account for tomorrow and that mandatory pay, but have some fun on this Saturday afternoon, which is going to be a great day of racing. Don't forget, I say Saturday afternoon, but things kick off here at Gulfstream at 11:30 this morning, so keep that in mind as well. Seth Merrill, Racing Across America, live from Gulfstream Park. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.